And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, 25 minutes to the hour. And I'm joined on the line now by Mark MacDonald from Sliinte Careers. Mark, good evening to you.
Good evening, guys.
And thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening in the absence of Liam Horan. Just one item to discuss this evening, and I'll just read the email. I recently attended for an interview and felt I had prepared well in advance. However, one particular question threw me completely. I was asked, what did I view myself doing within the first 30, 60 and 90 days if I was chosen for the role? I hadn't prepared for a question like this and would like to know how best to approach this type of question for future reference.
Aidan, that particular type of question is, in my opinion, it's a relatively new introduction into the interview process that's been used by a lot of employers. I know myself personally, I would have worked with quite a few clients over the last, we'll say, 12 months, and several of them have come back to me and fed back some information that they've been asked that type of question. So for whatever reason, it seems to be gaining in popularity. It's a very tough question to try and tackle unless you've prepared some sort of an answer in advance. I think what an employer is trying to ascertain by asking a question like that, and it may not necessarily be 30, 60, 90, they might just ask, what do you think you'll be doing within the first month or maybe the first 2 months? But in essence, what they're trying to do is to ascertain what I believe is two things. One, they're trying to test the level of research that you have carried out as a candidate within the role. You know, have you done your research? Have you researched the role? Have you researched the organisation, the market, and so forth? And secondly, and more importantly, I think they're trying to determine what level of value you can demonstrate that you will bring to the role. Because I think whatever way we look at it, a lot of employers will use recruitment as an opportunity, not just to replace somebody or to increase the workforce, but in some cases they do it to maybe try and improve on what has gone before. So I suppose in light of that, what you'd need to do really is have some sort of an answer prepared that will enable you to articulate how you will add benefit within the role. And if we break it down really into three sections, I think if you were going to assess what you felt you would be doing within the first 30 days, really that's a period of learning. It's in essence, it's the time where you will learn how to fit into the culture within the organisation, learn the culture itself, understand it, understand how the organisation operates, understand how people interact with each other, understand how they interact with their customers. And it's a time where you cultivate relationships with colleagues, with superiors, you familiarise yourself with customers and vendors, and the market in general. And really, you want to show that you will do whatever it takes to expedite your learning within that period. If it's a case that the role you're applying for involves managing people or managing a team, you would use the first month to really get an understanding of the strengths and weaknesses within that particular team. And in essence, you constantly ask questions during that period in order to increase your knowledge base. So by the time you would then get to the 60-day stage or at the end of a two-month period within the new role, you'd want to be able to tell an employer that you would expect to be comfortable within most aspects of that role. And nobody's going to know everything after that period of time, but you want to be able to prove that you're comfortable within a large portion of the role anyway, in the scope of your role. And that, I suppose, the 60-day period or the two-month period, when that elapses, that you should really at that point have put your individual stamp on the role and begun to demonstrate your value, begun to demonstrate how you can add value, how you can improve processes, how you can improve certain activities that are taking place within the organisation. And again, you should be in a position to demonstrate that at this point. You know and understand your role fully. You understand the market. You understand the organisation. And you've now positioned yourself to be able to begin to tentatively suggest and offer maybe improvements or suggestions how things could be done better, could be done more efficiently, could be done cheaper.
Well, can I just stop you there, Mark, because a text has come in and it it's very straightforward. Surely that's a type of trick question and that no employer should ask it.
Well, there's no rules really as to what questions an employer can ask, other than something that would, you know, would be in breach of somebody's legal rights. So if you're an employer, you can ask it. Is it a trick question? Well, as I said at the outset, it's a question that employers are using to try and demonstrate, to get you to demonstrate how much you understand about the role and for you to demonstrate what level of value you can offer. So, you know, I suppose at the end of the day, an employer is making a sizable investment when they agree to hire somebody, and they're going to protect that investment in any way they can. And if they feel, you know, if they feel that question is warranted, they will ask it. And I can only speak from personal experience from clients that we have dealt with in Sleenua careers. It is being asked, and it's being asked on a more frequent basis as time goes on. So I think the best advice I could give to your texter would be, you know, to say really there's a strong possibility that this type of questioning will be asked. As a job seeker, we can't pick and choose what we're going to face at the interview. So
now you more or less mentioned this earlier in our conversation. To a large extent, the answer to the question is going to depend on the nature of the job for which you're applying. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for argument's sake, if you're applying to be the financial controller, which requires you to be a chartered accountant, well, then the likelihood is that you'll be doing much the same thing after 90 days as you were doing after 30 days. On the other hand, if you're going into HR, it might be somewhat different.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree as a financial controller you could be doing the same thing. The question is, I think the way the question is phrased to people is, you know, they want them to articulate the kind of incremental steps they feel they will be taking along the first 90 days of their journey within an organisation. So, and what they want people to try and come back and feedback to them is, I suppose, a path of continuous improvement, really. And I agree it's over a short space of time, and asking somebody, you know, to break that down into increments of 30 days, 60 days and 90 days can be tough. But again, I can only reiterate, this is happening. Yeah, I can refer to, you know, at least 5 or 6, if not 7 or 8 clients I've worked with who have been asked this question. So, you know, we have to accept it. It's a reality. Employers do apportion a certain amount of gravitas to this type of question, and we just need to prepare for it. I suppose, to refer back to your financial controller, it's not so much, I think, a case of saying or thinking you'll be doing the same thing after 60 days as you will be doing after 90 days. It's more of a case of saying, well, what value will I add after a 60-day period? What value will I add after a 90-day period? And I think that's the kernel of what the employer is trying to get at. What will you bring, if I'm going to employ you, what will you bring that will add value to my organisation, and where possible enable you to grow within the role and ultimately, you know, benefit the bottom line?
And the nature and extent of the response might be the difference between an individual getting the job and not getting the job.
Well, I suppose I would hope that somebody wouldn't be discounted purely on the strength of that one particular answer. But we have to take an interview, take a holistic view of an interview. It could be, you know, it could be anything from 20 minutes to 40 minutes, and sometimes more. So it's as we tell our own clients, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it's one of the key areas that you would need to consider. And I think the safest option is just to have something prepared in advance and just to sit back and think, you know, if I am fortunate enough to be selected for this role, well, how can I prove that over 30 days I will have achieved X? After 60 days, I will have achieved Y, and so on. And if you break it down into those, I suppose, intervals of one-month intervals, you begin to maybe develop a little roadmap for yourself. Now, ultimately, an employer has to accept the fact that as a candidate, you can only research the role to a certain point. Ultimately, until you're actually doing the role, you'll never be 100% fully armed with all the information you need. But within that, you do need to be able to demonstrate that you fully understand and you fully research the scope of the role that you're interviewing for.
Which obviously is far better than just looking in blank amazement at the person who posed the question.
Well, I suppose ultimately that's what you're aiming to avoid at all costs. You know, silence, when silence is introduced into an interview on the basis of you being stuck for words, it's an uncomfortable place to be.
It may be golden, but not in that context.
Not in that context, Aidan, no. Ultimately, it's a sales process. And think of any salesperson you've ever met or encountered. They don't stay quiet for very long.
Very good. We have to leave it there. Mark MacDonald from Schlienua Careers. Thank you very much indeed, as always.
You're welcome, Aidan.
Good evening to you.